Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship, as this too is a day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and we're at the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, the season where the Lord shows himself to be the one who indeed was promised to be the Messiah. And on this Sunday, we focus on this thought: when somebody wants your attention, what might they do to get it? Well, they might whistle, they may talk louder, or use a mic, or they may clap. Why do people want your attention? Well, usually it has to do with something important, like instructions for a project or an assignment, or because you're about to do something dangerous. God wants our attention too, but he does not need to shout to get it. He uses the Bible. And he repeatedly tells us to pay attention to it. So, by God's grace, let us do just that now. Through word and song, pay attention to the word of our Lord. We turn our attention now to the first hymn. Hymn 281 is found in the red hymnal. And for those who aren't familiar with that red hymnal, the first part of that hymnal is numbered by normal pages. And the second part of that hymnal, the hymn section, then follows a hymn sequence. So hymn 281. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me.
Lord, have mercy
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first reading for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, where we are reminded of the fact that the Lord God sent many a faithful prophet to His Old Testament people Israel, who pointed to the prophet Jesus. And as they were, so we too are encouraged to listen to Him. We hear these words. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in singing our psalm, Psalm 1, which encourages us to listen to the Lord. are to fix our eyes and our ears on Jesus, who is the author of our faith. So in our second reading from Hebrews chapter 3, again, we are encouraged to listen to him. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. This is the word of our Lord. We join in the verse of the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news. Hallelujah. Please stand for the gospel reading. It is taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter. Here we have further proof that Jesus is indeed the one who was promised. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. And I'll join together in confessing the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there are children who would like to come forward for children's devotion, they can do so now. Ray's coming forward. Good to see all of you. Yeah. Whoops. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. How many of you have a pet? Yeah? You got a pet? This is my pet. Easy to take care of. Whoops. So, what do you do with your pet? Feed them. That's good. What else? Walk them. Good, good.
Get a
water to
drink.
Yeah, water to drink.
That's good.
So in other words, you, what, you got something else?
Yeah, you can play with your pet.
Ah, you play with your pet.
But you don't walk a hamster.
Oh, you don't walk a hamster?
You walk a dog.
You walk a dog. Good advice. Thank you. Right? So in other words, what are all of you doing with your pet? You are, this is the word for the day, paying attention to your pet, right? Because what would happen if you didn't pay attention to your pet?
It could run out the door.
It could run out the door, find someone else to pay attention to it. What else? If you don't feed your pet, if you don't play with your pet, give it water.
It'll probably die.
Yeah, it'll probably die. It'll probably get sick first and it'll probably die. So we want to pay attention to our pets. They're precious, right? What else is alive and needs faithful attention?
Us.
Yeah, you, right?
And
plants. Right? Yeah, you need to pay attention to ourselves. We need to eat, give ourselves water. Yeah, right? Teachers, right? And what's inside of you? What do we call that that's inside of you that God gives to you? Faith. Faith is something else, too, that's alive, living. When you were baptized, right, the Holy Spirit gave you faith, gave you a living faith. And so, as with a pet that's alive, we need to pay attention to it. So our faith, we need to pay attention to it. And how do we do that? How do we pay attention to our faith? Paying attention in church, right? Doing what we're doing right now. We come to hear the Word of God. We come to sing the Word of God in the songs, right? And during the week, we pay attention in school or perhaps when we have devotions. We want to keep it alive because if we don't pay attention to our faith, what will happen to it? It'll shrink away and die. So I'm glad you're here to pay attention to your faith, just like you would pay attention to your pets. So when you take care of your pets, also remember, not only to take care of yourself, but also to take care of your faith by paying attention to the Word of God. Right? So your pet doesn't end up just like this. Right? Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us life and giving us pets and help us pay attention to our own needs, feeding ourselves, and also by taking care of the needs of our pets. More importantly, thank you for the gift of a living faith. And help us through your word pay attention to that faith. And help us then show our love for you by paying attention to your word and encouraging others to pay attention to it as well. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity today to worship you and hear your word. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Good to see you. Keep paying attention to your faith and your pets. And we'll continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this possible through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the second reading for today, where we hear once again these words from Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed people of God, washed clean through the blood of Jesus, what advice would you offer to someone who is just learning to drive a vehicle? Would you encourage that person to look for and at the beautiful landscapes while they are driving? Would you encourage that person to only look out the rear view mirror while they are driving? Would you encourage that person to text and drive? We would not encourage anyone, especially someone just learning how to drive, to keep their eyes anywhere but on the road in front of them, right? Driving calls for vigilance. It calls for awareness. It calls for being prepared when living life. Able to drive or not calls for the same things. Vigilance, awareness, being prepared, bottom line, staying focused. That is the encouragement before us through the book of Hebrews. And our sermon text offers specifics, which can be summed up in these words. Fix our thoughts on Jesus. In other words, Jesus is to be the focal point of our life. And more than that, Jesus is to be the source of our courage and confidence and hope. Our text starts out with the word therefore, indicating that what is about to be said is based on what was just said. Hebrews is making the case that Jesus is indeed the one who was promised to be the Messiah all along. He is greater than Moses, who faithfully served the Lord, along with the other prophets that came before Jesus. He is greater than the angels, who faithfully serve the God of the universe. He is greater because He is the Creator of all, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And because He is the Creator, only He can repair what we, mankind, have messed up. Therefore, Jesus took on human flesh, the Christmas message, lived among us, the Epiphany message, and came in order to clean up what we messed up, the Lent message. Since Jesus is this, part of the Trinity, who took on human flesh, we are told to fix our thoughts on Him, on what He has done with you and me and all people in mind. That word fix implies a continuous observation on something. In this case, Jesus. Like driving, how easily it can happen when our eyes are taken off of the road that we can veer off the road and end up in a ditch or on the oncoming traffic. Or when we try to overcorrect ourselves, we can end up rolled over. Many not so good scenarios when we take our eyes off of the road. And so taking our eyes off of Jesus can lead to many not so good things. Life is full of distractions, is it not? Many of which are fueled by the evil free. Our own sinful flesh, which we are conceived and born with, the unbelieving world, and Satan himself. For the Bible does not refer to him as a roaring lion for no reason. A distraction, the immediate recipients of this letter entitled Hebrews, was the temptation to go back to reliance on themselves or their traditions, such as circumcision, or a reliance on the law as a way to appease God. Their thoughts were being tempted to look away from Jesus, the promised one. Well, that distraction has not gone away, as many in the church today are tempted to think that the traditions are more important than the message itself. When we insist on a human tradition to the point of saying, why even worship when we do not have this or that tradition taking place? Well, then we have become a victim of Satan. And when we bind the consciences of others in insisting on a human tradition, we have fostered the thought process to others that they are to be taken off of Jesus, giving the impression it is the tradition and not Jesus himself that is the most important part of our worship. Traditions have a place in the church, in our families, in society. But when those traditions become more important than the message, or when they divide families, or when they keep a society downtrodden, then those traditions need to go. Moses, a faithful prophet of God Most High and highly revered by Old Testament Israel, knew that he was not the one who was promised by God already in Genesis chapter 3. Thus the words of our first reading from Deuteronomy. Jesus was and is the one. He was appointed to be the apostle, the one chosen by the Father to speak the truth about sin and grace. And when Jesus lived among us in the flesh, those who heard him said again and again how he was one who spoke with authority because he had it, because he was and is the Son of God. His testimony was testified to by his heavenly Father. His message was stern and refreshing. He could read the minds and hearts of people. He could call sin as he saw it, and he did. And he also spoke of forgiveness, not by what we have to do, but rather how it has been given to them through the gift of God. And the ultimate gift was right there in front of them, Jesus, the promised one, who came to take away all the sins of the entire world so that he could pay for them once and for all by his sacrifice on the cross he came to die on. The message of sin and grace is a refreshing one because people are hurting and sin is behind the hurt. Therefore, people need to hear that something has been done about sin and that hurt does not need to master our life. It does not have to. Because Jesus came not only to speak the truth about sin, to put it in its place, sin that is, and highlight God's grace through the sacrifice of himself. Old Testament priests were to represent the people before God, but before doing so, they needed to offer sacrifices for their own sins. Then they could represent the people. Those sacrifices called for the shedding of blood. As God wanted to impress upon the people the serious nature of their sin, and that the only way to deal with its ugliness was and is through the shedding of blood. But it was not the blood of those animals that were sacrificed that was special. It was rather what those sacrifices pointed to. The ultimate sacrifice, Jesus himself. That, in a nutshell, dear friends, is the book of Hebrews. Jesus was always the focus of the sacrifices offered up before he came and offered up himself. He did not need to atone first for his own sins since he had none. That's what makes him the greater high priest. And no more sacrifices for sin are necessary. We do not get closer to God by anything we do or not do, but only through Jesus. And Jesus comes to us through his word. Therefore, we are to keep our attention fixed on Jesus, and we do that by paying attention to the word of our God. The word of God makes it clear that the prophets leading up to Jesus' arrival were sent by God to keep the people's attention on the promised Messiah. These prophets were necessary, for we well know that Old Testament Israel, along with the people of the nations around them, did not automatically keep their attention focused on the God of all creation. Old Testament Israel, for sure, had no excuse for their lack of attention. As God had set them apart to be His own as the nation who would bear the Savior in the flesh. It was not Abraham, nor was it Old Testament Israel that was the focus or so special or superior to others. It was an act of grace on God's part that was and is the focus. Time and time again, Old Testament Israel took their eyes off of God and their God-given purpose. Instead of relying on the God of their fathers to provide for them through the means that He had implemented, instead of relying on God to protect them, though they should have known better as they forgot to remember how they got into the promised land in the first place, it was not by their own military might. Old Testament Israel kept drifting away from God. And so God would send them prophet after prophet again and again, prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Elijah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and Malachi to warn them about the dangers of losing focus and then to encourage them to keep their eyes fixed on the one who was to come. Life then, and still now today, was and is to be centered around Jesus. And there was and is to be no doubt that Jesus was and is the one to keep our eyes fixed on. As testified to in our gospel reading, not only did Jesus speak words of truth, of sin and grace, and spoke as one who had authority because He had it, He backed up His words with actions. As testified to by the prophets, they would be able to recognize the people who were there when Jesus came in flesh. They would be able to recognize Him by the miracles that He would do, the actions that He carried out, enabling the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the sick cured, and the dead raised. Miracles He can still do today, and He does, but especially done then to confirm God's promise regarding the Messiah has been kept. And since God kept this all-important, life-saving promise, we are assured that He does and will keep all of His promises with our best interests in mind. For His desire is not to destroy life, but rather to save life. And at the same time, rightfully so, God will not be mocked. Therefore, people of God, keep your thoughts fixed on Jesus at all times. He is to be and remain the focal point of our life. Not only is this so, but also to be seen as the source of the confidence and the courage and the hope that we need to get through this life until we taste of eternal life in God's good time for us. Note then how we, God's people, are referred to in our text. Holy brothers and sisters. We are rightfully called such because we have been washed clean of our sins through the blood of Jesus. We have been given access to God Almighty through the blood of Jesus. We have been given courage and confidence and hope again through the blood of Jesus. Lent and Holy Week cannot be dismissed as something unimportant then, because Lent and Holy Week focus on the blood of Jesus. How precious and necessary that blood of Jesus is for our life. And the Epiphany season of the church confirms who this Jesus is that we are to keep our thoughts fixed on at all times. For He is our identity. Earthly titles and positions of power come and go. But the benefits that come with Jesus, they endure. Life is not to be about making a name for ourselves. Rather, is the time to connect up with Jesus. Now, this is not to say we are not to make something of this earthly life that God has given to us. Yet keep in mind the temporary nature of this life and what Solomon had to say when we try to go through this life without God and Jesus in it. It is meaningless. Jesus is the one who gives our life meaning and value and purpose. Moses had the purpose of keeping God's people focused on the Messiah to come. He faithfully did that, but not without some fear and trembling along the way. And thus the Lord kept reassuring Moses. And the Lord thus keeps assuring you and me today through the Word. As at times we go through fears and anxious moments in life. As we hear about school shootings and suicide bombers. And we go through the flu or have to deal with cancer. The Lord knows such moments will come into our life. And so He constantly, through pastors and teachers and blood family and faith family and others, encourages us to keep our thoughts fixed on the source of our needed courage and confidence and hope. He's got this life already figured out for us. He calls us then to trust on Him. That trust comes and grows as we keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Not unto us then, but to God be the glory. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who works in us to keep our thoughts where they need to be. That is the point of the following words in our text. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. We marvel at the construction of a building. We marvel at the beauty and majesty of the mountains. But such things did not come about on their own. There was an architect and a builder. The people and the materials that go into a building, well, those things would not exist without God creating the people and materials. We marvel at a painting. But it is the artist behind the painting that gives that painting value. We have a beautiful church building here. But if Jesus does not remain at the center of it, it is just another building. You yourself are valuable, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done for you through Jesus. For we start out our life not able to help out ourselves. And that's how our life typically ends. What makes our life valuable then and worth living centers in and around Jesus. How then are you, holy brothers and sisters, going to reflect this truth in your life today and in the week to come? Are you going to put His commandments into practice or just pay lip service to them? Are you going to confess Jesus as Lord in the face of those who mock you for believing in Him? Are you going to have the same attitude as that of the psalmist who said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Dear friends, may our boasting in this life be a boast in Jesus. Our focal point, our courage, our confidence, our hope. And this we will do as we keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus. Amen.
O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far, and bring people into heaven. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time you came into our world to save us from sin and death. Loved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging.
You brought the light of life to those walking in darkness, and the joy of salvation to those doomed to death.
Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our own lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope.
Arouse us and our missionaries to flood the world with the light of your gospel.
Lord of the Church, let your peace rule our hearts, that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and the disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn.
Be gracious to all and lead us to reflect your love in everything we say and do.
Lord, we ask that you continue to show your compassion on Norm Lervold, who suffered stroke-like symptoms this past week. With you, all things are possible. So as you will for him, restore his health. Above all, keep his thoughts fixed on his Savior. Strengthen his family during this time of uncertainty. We commend our sister in faith, Barbara Carpenter, to your care as she undergoes surgery this coming week. Guide the medical team as they work with her so that this procedure does what it is intended to do. Reassure her and family that she at all times remains in the palm of your hands. As Bree McCurry is going through some health challenges, we ask that answers be provided to what is at the heart of these challenges. Reassure her and family that through this, your love for them does not change, a love firmly rooted in the gift of a Savior. And be with Mark Schlittenhart as he received news of hearing months to live due to cancer. Lift up his spirits by renewing his courage and hope through you, his Lord and Savior. Bring comfort to the family as they go through this trial of suffering with Mark. And Lord, since you are the giver of all life, the physical and the spiritual, and you are the one who puts countless blessings into our life, continue to open the eyes of those among us who are privileged to celebrate another birthday. We thank you for putting them among us here at St. Mark's, and as they are a blessing to us, may we be a blessing to them and together give you the glory. Despite the opinion of some that marriage is old-fashioned or too serious of a commitment, we thank you for the married couples among us who are able to celebrate their wedding anniversary, whether it be for 1 year or for 19 years. Marriage is a blessing to be enjoyed for the purpose you gave it. Renew the love of the married couples among us, that their love for each other may reflect your love for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers to the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels sing the everlasting song of triumph. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Please rise. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to give him our attention and our source of courage, confidence, and hope. A few announcements to share with you this morning. First, I think it will appear on the screens very shortly. We have the opportunity to continue to give God our attention this morning as we attend Bible class, a few offerings for adults over in the chapel, the Zachariah class with Pastor Groth in here in the sanctuary, the making decisions in a God-pleasing way with Pastor Colander, teens in the teen room, Sunday school as well, opportunities to continue to grow in our faith this morning. I'd like to announce also that this evening we have Bible information class at 5 o'clock. The class began last week, but it's not too late to join. A great opportunity to grow in the foundational teachings of the Bible. It's also a class that can lead to membership at St. Mark's if you're interested in that. Pastor Colander would like to remind us that this coming Friday, February 2nd, the monthly doctrine class will be meeting at 6:30 in the Luther Room. That's a class that dives into the Bible's teachings a little bit more deeply, so a wonderful opportunity to continue to grow there as well. This afternoon, after our late worship service, we'll have our annual congregational meeting. Great opportunity to hear some highlights from our ministry boards, what they've had going on the past year, what they're looking forward to the coming year, and some other important congregational business. So everybody's encouraged to attend the congregational meeting this afternoon after late service. On the horizon, only a couple weeks away, the season of Lent begins. Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day, February 14th this year. So we'll have a Wednesday evening worship service at 7 o'clock. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion in our Ash Wednesday worship service this year. We'll also have our usual dinners in the gym at 5:30. The prime timers are serving that first dinner. If you're a prime timer and you'd like to sign up to help host that dinner, I believe there's a sign-up sheet in the back this morning. Some of you may recognize the name Norm Nelson. Norm was a member at St. Andrew's in Sacramento. Norm was called home to his eternal home with Jesus in heaven this past week. His victory celebration, his funeral service, will be held this coming Saturday, February 3rd, at 11 o'clock at St. Andrew's. Everybody's invited to attend that, and a meal will follow the funeral as well. So praise Jesus that he called Norm home to be with him forever in heaven. Couple school-related announcements. I'm going to take these in chronological order. Most of them are invitations of one form or another. This coming week, we've got a couple home basketball games, Wednesday and Thursday. Games begin at 3:30 over in the Lions Den. If you'd like to come on and cheer on our student athletes, we'd invite you to those basketball games Wednesday and Thursday. This coming Saturday, we have our annual Play Day Open House. Play Day Open House is designed for incoming junior kindergarten and kindergarten students. So we'll have a lot of fun activities in the gym, including a bounce house, some face painting, some other fun things. And then it gives parents the opportunity for tours and meeting our teachers and so forth. So if you or anybody you know might be interested in junior K or kindergarten at St. Mark's this coming fall, please be encouraged to come to that Play Day Open House this coming Saturday. February 9th, that's a Friday evening, our annual father-daughter banquet. kind of a daddy-daughter date night, very special opportunity. There's more information in the news flyer, especially about how to RSVP by emailing Mrs. Webb as soon as possible. That'll help us plan accordingly. Last one is looking forward to our St. Mark's soiree, which we've had for 2 years now. It's really gaining momentum, and it's proving to be a really good opportunity to support our school. So to help start creating some excitement for that, I've invited a special guest this morning to talk to you. One of our students, she'll tell you who she is. Here she is.
Hi, my name is Kylie Quirkill, and I'm an eighth grader at St. Mark's School, and I'm the secretary of the student council. I'm here this morning to encourage you to attend our annual St. Mark's School soiree coming up on April 28th. The soiree is a fun evening that includes dinner, entertainment, live and silent auctions, a raffle, and the new crowd favorite dessert dash. Funds generated by the soiree help support our school. The last two soirees have helped us purchase new desks for two classrooms, and this year we're thinking about paving the running track, which is an ambitious goal. We need you to attend the soiree to make it possible. There's a note in the news flyer that tells you how you can purchase the soiree tickets online. We will also have a table in the lobby this morning at which we will be happy to help you purchase soiree tickets and learn more about how you can help make the soiree a successful event. Thank you for considering supporting our school by attending the soiree on April 28th.
Thank you, Kylie. We've got a video update for the month of January, so you can turn your attention to the screens.